Hey, how you doing? It's the work truck fire.
That's it for me.
Thank you. Dear colleagues, please take your seats. So, we are about to start the agenda item 9 of the schedule of the GAC Geographic Names Working Group session scheduled at 9:30. We are running a little bit late on Sunday, 11 March, for 60 minutes. Please remember that when you are called upon, state your name and affiliation for transcript purposes. I see many other colleagues have joined us this morning. Welcome, and please take your seats because we are running a little bit late. Can I change it? Okay. Thank you very much for those of you that were early this morning for the non-common, remain with us, and for those of you that have joined us in this working group session. If you remember, in the last meeting we had of this working group, we agreed that we would use this space to review what was going on in World Track 5 and see, based on the experience and the different issues we have been reviewing in this working group, how can we give input to the Work Track 5 activities from the GAC side, or if we can review some issues that are being debated and in the Work Track 5. So what I have done is I have prepared a kind of detailed PowerPoint that explains somehow a large file that has been shared for those of you who are in the Work Track 5 mailing list. It's a kind of large Excel file, which is not easy to navigate. This is not so complicated, so this is my intention, is to give you the content of this Excel file, so maybe afterwards you can go and make your comments if you think that is of your interest. So first of all, let me, as we have several new members of the GAC, let me tell you why this working group is about. This is an internal GAC working group. This is not a cross-community working group. And we had the idea of creating this space because there were several conflicts that some of them still remain, because some names that were relevant for communities or had some geographic significance were used as new GTLDs. That brought some confusion and some conflicts that has been complicated for both for the applicants and for the respective communities and governments. So we have created this space to think about different ways of approaching this problem. Now we have this World Track 5 within the GNSO PDP process for the new round of new GTLDs. We are using this space to review what's going on there and perhaps bring our perspectives. So the purposes of this working group were develop practical options to improve protection of geographic names during future expansion of GTLDs, practical suggestions and rules to lower uncertainties for both governments and communities and applicants once using a geographic term or a community name. Develop best practice rules to avoid misuse of geographic and community names as new GTLDs, and at the same time lower uncertainties for the applicants, trademarks, and the business involved in the request of a new GTLD. Ensure the involvement of local community, government, and other relevant stakeholders in the initial stage to avoid future risk and delays for such new GTLDs. And focus on those names with geographic significance, which are, and this is important, names that are not included in formal list of ISO or United Nations or regional relevant list. These are names that are not formally described in this list as geographic names, but they do have importance for the communities and for the governments. The working group has done many documents. None of them were approved or endorsed by the full GAC, but I think it has been a good exercise for thinking about different possibilities. We have talked about a possible repository of names of with geographic significance and other options, some ideas of having best practice rules that could be considered by the applicant before submitting application for a term that could have geographic significance. So those documents, if you are new to the GAC and want to review them, some of them are in the GAC website, or we can send them to you. As I said, they are not GAC agreed documents, but they have been an exercise of exchanging different ideas and opinions about what is an important issue. And the World Track 5 is focusing on this. And I would now go to what has been happening in the World Track 5 so we are informed about it. Any comment, questions about the working group in general? If you want to join the list, the email list of the working group, just let me know or let Julia or Gultan know so they... Did I pronounce it right, Gultan? Oh, thank you. And they will include you. So let's go to the next one. So what has been done by the World Track 5? The World Track 5, it's not a GAC working group. It's a cross-community working group. This means that it has a co-leadership by the GAC, by the GNSO, the CCNSO, and the ALAC. So we are four co-leads, co-chairs, and we are working together with the community in doing this this revision of geographic terms in relation with this new PDP, means policy development process, which is a process done by the GNSO. GNSO is the supporting organization within ICANN that deals with generic names. So the work started in November 2007, 145 members, 82 observers from the whole community. We have agreed in terms of reference, which I will refer right now. And at the moment, we are reviewing what is the mean, what constitutes a geographic name. And I will go to that in a moment. But first, I would like to review with you the highlights of the terms of reference. And I have a comment in the chat that, of course, I cannot read because I'm doing another thing. Thank you, Gultan. Okay. Something important that you may want to review, it's a webinar that was organized because we had many consultations from the community or questions. What's the story behind all this concept of geographic names in new GTLDs? I encourage you, if this is of your interest, to hear the recordings. I'm not sure if we have transcribing. And it was led by my colleague from the CCNSO, Annabeth Lang. It was very good. And at the end of the webinar, I suggested to include this fact that there are names that are not included in list, and the issue of the .Amazon case came up, and there were several comments. So if you are interested in that, you may go and review the recordings of the webinar. So the present work is comparing the different definitions. I want to review with you this is already the leadership of the working group. And the highlights of the terms of reference. So this fifth work track focuses on the geographic names on the top level domain. It's not about the second or the third level, only on the top level. Structured to encourage broad and balanced participation from different parts of the community and includes joint community work track leadership. So we are four co-leaders. It's coordinated by the PDP working group co-chairs, who are Jeff Newman and Sherry Langdon-Gore. While this PDP is already open for anyone to participate, like all GNSO PDPs, the PDP working group co-chairs are seeking to structure conversations about geographic names in a way that, and this is important, leads to predictable, reliable, and sustainable subsequent procedures for the submission of new GTLD applications. It is sensitive to the needs and concerns of all community members and ensures that participants feel comfortable that the process is sufficiently inclusive. So in general, the idea is somehow the same aim that we had at this working group is lowering uncertainties, lowering conflicts. And the value of this PDP is a cross-community effort. So it's not only the GAC, it's the GAC and others. But it has a different way of decision-making that differs somehow from what we do in the GAC. One comment about terms of reference. Terms of reference are already established. There was some opportunities to make comments or changes. That is gone. It's already agreed. So I'm just letting you know what is it about. We are not discussing text here. Other highlights of the terms of reference, the scope. World Track 5 will focus on developing proposed recommendations regarding geographic names at the top level, including both ASCII and IDM forms. We'll consider what constitutes a geographic name in the specific context of a new GTLD program. This is what the group is doing right now. Analyze 2007 GNSO policy recommendations on the introduction of new generic top-level domains and relevant rules contained in the 2012 guidebook, such as geographic names, review procedure, geographic names, extending evaluation, and objection procedures, and take into account previous work related to geographic names that the community may have completed, and there we can do some input from our work in this working group. This is important. The last paragraph, broader discussion about remit of SOs and SEs, as well as the allocation of second and third level of geographic domains, are specifically out of scope of this work track. So it's only about top level, the last part from the dot to the right. Comments, questions? Highlights, we will develop a work plan, timeline, activities and deliverables, reach consensus on potential policy recommendations, implementation guidance regarding geographic names at the top level, following the process set up for the existing work track. It will deliver a proposed recommendation and related rationale to the full working group for consideration and possible adoption as PDP working group recommendations. Remember that this general PDP process has five tracks, four other tracks that have other focuses, and this is the fifth track. So the input will go to the general PDP that the GNSO is developing. Consensus level for all recommendations will be determined per decision-making section established here that I will review right now. In a moment, the full working group will publish the initial report for public comment, so then the GAC will have the chance to comment. But remember, if we get involved in early stages, then it's perhaps easier to have our input considered in the preliminary report that, of course, will come to the GAC for revision. And World Track 5, a final report and recommendations will be delivered to the fully working group. Decision making. This is important. It's not the same way that the GAC makes decision. It is more GNSO style decision making process. Full consensus when no one speaks against a recommendation. Consensus, a position where only a small minority disagrees, but most agree. Strong support, but significant opposition. A position where there are significant number of those who do not support it. Divergence, referred as no consensus also, a position where there isn't a strong support for any particular position, but many different points of view, and then minority view refers to a proposal where a small number of people support the recommendation. This can happen in response to a consensus, strong support, but significant opposition, and no consensus, or it can happen in cases where there is neither support or nor opposition to a suggestion made by a small number of individuals. This is text taken from the terms of reference. Just have in mind that the decision process of the working group of the World Track 5 is somehow different from what we do here in the GAC. So for having full consensus or strong support or any of these different options, there is the activity in the group that gives this consensus. So this is why it's important that if it's of interest of members of the GAG, we really get engaged in the calls and in the discussions. What's the composition? I have some slight different numbers, but it's more or less rough idea of the participation. GNSO has several members of this supporting organization participating. They actively participate. The GAG members, we are several in formally appointed in the group, and CCNSO 19 individuals, 25, and ASAC 1, and all the details. And you have a link there and of the document that I shared with you last night. Okay, so the terms of reference are set. The full document, you can review it in the WordTrack 5 wiki, or if you want, I can send you the link or I can send you the document. The highlights of the document I have already presented, so with that you have a sense of what is the terms of reference about. More or less is that. And what I would like to review with you now, I think we will have time. If not, we have the next hour is for this also. The next hour is for WordTrack 5. Okay, so if we don't finish now, we can continue for 1 hour more. So what is the WordTrack 5 working right now? It's reviewing the existing defined geographic names. What does it mean? There is a revision of the geographic name concept included in the applicant guidebook and in other previous documents that are related with the first round of new GTLDs. And now I will go step by step, and I have included some examples. I have taken this information from the slides prepared by the WordTrack 5 Secretariat, so thank you very much for them to sharing with me this document. And then, if we have time in this hour or the next one, I will go to the Excel file, which is not so complex, quite difficult to navigate. Some colleagues have made comments so far. The document is still open for comments, and there will be a session on Wednesday morning, if I'm not mistaken, about the WordTrack 5. So if you're interested in how the group will keep on working with this information, please join us. I will go into details, but I think some of them are important for the GAG in a moment. Questions? Comments? Okay. So, the issue is the following. There are different definitions, and the group has proposed three questions about each definition. Is it a valid geographic term for the purpose of the new GTLD? What were the positive impacts or merits based on the treatment applied to the term in the applicant guidebook? If you're new to the process, the applicant guidebook was the tender document, the document that the applicants had to follow to apply for a new GTLD. This was released in the process ended in 2012, so it must have been done by 2008 or 2010. So that's the reference document that for the moment we have. It was the guidebook for the applicants for applying for new GTLD. So when you see AGB, it refers to the applicant guidebook. What were the negative impacts, opportunities, or loss based on the treatment of applied to the term in the applicant guidebook? So these are the three questions that are included in the document, in the Excel document, but I want to debrief them with you now step by step. So the first definition that it's in the applicant guidebook is the Alpha 2 code listed in the ISO 3166/1. This is a very well-known list of the ISO because it's the one used for the CCTLDs, for example, .ar for Argentina, .br for Brazil, .pr for Puerto Rico, and so on. So this is, I have included the example in that was in the PowerPoint, I didn't change it. AF for Afghanistan, but there are several others, like 300 different two-letter codes. So there are two policy developed text. Policy from 2007 in the PDP by the GNSO. These two-letter codes were not available as GTLDs. Two-character ASCII strings are not permitted to avoid conflict with current and future country codes based on the ISO 3166-1 standard. And the applicant guidebook of 2012 said also that these two-letter codes were not available as GTLDs, as the basis was to avoid conflicts with current and future country codes based in the ISO 3166-1 standard. So these two-letter codes in the first round were not allowed. Would they be allowed in the new one? That's something that is not defined. There are also some two letters that are not in the list, and some two letters that are, have not been requested as TLDs. So that's something that is the gray space that could something happen there. So we have the three questions. I will go to the Excel file in a moment, but we do the three questions about this. Also, it was this cross-community working group on the use of country and territory names that also recommended not to use this two-letter code as a TLD because it may cause confusion with the CCTLDs. Common questions, doubts? Should I go slower? I speak too much? No? Okay. Okay, the other existing definition. Alpha 3 code listed in the ISO 3166-1, which is the three-letter code that, for example, for Argentina is ARG, A-R-G, AFG for Afghanistan, and I'm not able to say another ones because I may make mistakes. So what did the policy in 2007 said? Available but challenge mechanism to governments to initiate an objection. Applicants should be aware of GAC principles. You remember that the GAC established some GAC principles for new GTLDs in 2007 and were finished in the Lisbon meeting in 2007. So those are important guidelines and documents for the GAC. Applicants must represent that the use of the opposed string is not in violation of the national laws in which the applicant is incorporated. And the applicant guidebook said that those three-letter codes of this ISO list were not available as GTLDs. Would they be available for the new one? Comments, questions? Okay, let's go to the next one. Long form name in the ISO 3166 standard or translation of the long form name in any language. This is the name of the country. Example, the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan. What did the PDP 2007 said? Available but challenge mechanism to governments to initiate an objection. The same as before, as the three-letter codes. Applicants should be aware of GAC principles. Applicants must represent that the use of the proposed string is not in violation of the national laws in which the applicant is incorporated. And finally, the applicant guidebook said it's not available. So in the first round of new GTLDs, if someone wanted to apply for Republic Argentina, would not be available to do that. So again, the three questions. Would that be available in the next round? Country or territory names. Short form name in the ISO 3166 standard or translation of the short form name in any language. For Argentina would be Argentina, not Republic Argentina. Here we have Afghanistan as an example. What did the 2007 PDP say? Available but challenge, the same as before. Available but challenge mechanism to governments to initiate an objection. Applicants should be aware that GAC principles. Applicants must represent that the use of proposed string is not available in violation of the national laws in which the applicant is incorporated. So, for the three letters, for the complete name of the country, or for the short name of the country. The 2000 PDP says it's allowed, but it could be some objections from the country. And in the 2012 Aprigan Guidebook, they are not allowed. So nobody could request the name of a country in the short form or in the long form. So that's something that could be reviewed in the future or maintained as it is. Next one. This is the country or territory names, short or long form, in association with a code that has been designated as exceptionally reserved by the ISO 3166. And we have some examples, UK for United Kingdom. So there are some two-letter codes that are reserved for some countries. The policy of 2007 said the same as for the long name of the country or the short name of the country, and for the three-letter codes, and the applicant guidebook said that these were not available. So the same as before. And next one, separable component of a country name designated in the separable country name list, or its translation of a name appearing in the list in any language according to the annex in applicant guidebook. The policy of 2007 and the applicant guidebook said most the same. For 2007, everything is available, but it mentions that there could be objections, and for the applicant guidebook, all the names of country names are not available. And there's an example of Allen Islands or Allen, separable or not. Permutation or transposition of any of the names included above. For example, Czech Republic, Republic Czech, or Island Cayman or Cayman Island. The same restrictions in 2012, not available, but in 2007 it was available, but considering that could be some conflicts. And country or territory names. Some countries have a different designation that is very popular, for example, Holland or the Netherlands. In these cases, the rules were the same as before. In 2007, they were allowed, but considering that it could be some conflicts, and the applicant guidebook did not allow those names by which a country is commonly known. Not the official name of the country, but commonly known. The example is the Netherlands and Holland. What else? Representation in any language of a capital city name of any country or territory listed in the ISO 3166-1 list. Examples: London, Londres, London, Berlin, I don't know how to pronounce the middle one, Berlino, Buenos Aires, is not easy to translate. The same restrictions as before. In the applicant guidebook, there is a difference from the previous one. It was possible, as we have seen several cities having now their own TLDs, like Berlin, what is for Sao Paulo? They have one, but it's not Sao Paulo complete. It's, I think they have one. Rio has. And Berlin, NYC for New York, London, Paris. So we have seen several new GTLDs with the city name. In that case, the applicant guidebook established that the applicant required the support and non-objection from the relevant government and the public authorities of that city. So this is why we have seen successful applications of different city names in different cities of the world. Other geographic names, city name used for purposes associated with the city name, like Bath, Florence, Frankfurt. The 2000 PDP is always the same. It's available, but it could be some objections from the government. And the applicant guidebook says it requires the support and non-objection from relevant governments or public authorities, the same as for the city names. other geographic names, city names, you for other... No, this is already said, sorry. Exact match of a subnational place name such as country, province, or state listed in the ISO 3166/2. This is for example, provinces or states of countries. If you go to that list, then you have different... For Argentina, you have all the provinces. You have an example of a state or province from Afghanistan. I don't know how to pronounce it, Badakhshan. The restriction of 2007 is the same. It's available, but it may challenge it. It may be challenging. And in the applicant guidebook, it requires support or non-objection from relevant governments of public authorities. For example, if someone would apply, the name of one province of Argentina could go to the list and request it, but it would require authorization from the province government or perhaps the national government. What else? String listed in the UNESCO region or appearing on the composition of a macro geographic continent and regions, geographic subregions, and selected economic and other grouping list. For example, Africa, Northern Africa. This was important because some sub-regional names came up as brand. They are already established brand and registered brands all over the world, but they are not included in this UNESCO list. So as they are not in a list, that was the doubt if they would be available or not as following the rules of the applicant guidebook. The 2007 PDP said that it's available, but it could be objections. And in 2012, it said that it requires support or non-objection from at least 60% of the respective national governments in the region. The thing is that there were sub-national regions that are not included in these lists. So that brought some conflicts. And this is the last one. This is an input from some members of the GAC, which I think is of high relevance for the GAC. In the definitions included in the 2012 applicant guidebook, in general, worked well, yes. But there were problems because some geographic names were geographic for the governments of the community, but they were not included in this list of the applicant guidebook that I have just shared with you. So the example is that Amazon, that it's a conflict that it's still unresolved. So the suggestion is to include in this definition the discussion, the notion that there were names with geographic meaning not covered by the 2012 applicant guidebook, and rules which, according to a factual analysis, have given rise to problems, and that therefore a debate would be warranted in order to include them under the definitions in a manner to be agreed upon, establishing a framework for mutually agreed outcomes amongst all interested parties in such applications. And there was a webinar, if you remember, in April, and that webinar, colleague from Switzerland, Jorge Cancio, and myself, we presented some ideas that we have been sharing within this working group. They don't have the support from the whole GAC, but I think we thought it was worth sharing with the full community about, for example, creating a way that the applicant may consult or a repository of name or reference list, something where the applicant could go and consult and have the chance to check if the desired string to be requested as a TLD could be of interest of some communities or countries, and it's not included in any of these lists, which were the cases that generated more conflicts in the first round. So this is what it's in analysis right now by the group. I don't know if there are comments or questions. What I want to share with you in a moment is the document that it's still not finalized. It's a document where you can go and include your inputs for the moment. The document, it's quite a large Excel file that has a first column with all these categories that I have just shared with you that are mainly related with the 2007 PDP and the applicant guidebook, and see if they were positive, if they were negative, if they were conflict. So this is in other columns to the right. And if you will see there some comments from colleagues from the community that were gathered from the calls that the working group, that the World Track 5 is having by every 2 weeks. The document is still open for comments, so we have the chance to review it and comment if needed. And also the working group will organize, I think, a 2 or 3 hours meeting the morning of Wednesday, so you can join us there if you want to go and share your views with us. Comments, questions? I talk too much. You should say something. I'll take some water. Yes, China, please go ahead.
Thanks, Onga, for this comprehensive PowerPoint, this comprehensive document, as well as your comprehensive illustration. I have a question regarding the timeline of this work on the definition. Has the work track decide a timeline on the work of this definition? So if we have a more clear timeline here, because I think each GAC member, some of the GAC member may have to do some homework regard to their geographic names within their territory or country. So that is basically my question.
A very good question. The document is already open for comments, and I don't have in mind exactly the date. That I don't think we already have a date to closing. Maybe Christopher can help me. Do we have a date for closing comments? No, not for the moment. So we still have an opportunity to make comments and including them in the document. And do you have a follow-up comment?
Yeah, my question is more about the following procedure. Regarding the work of the definition, not only including the comment of undergoing the ongoing document, perhaps the close time for the whole bunch of work regarding definition, the geographic definition.
It's a good comment. We have to fit in the general PDP agenda. So it's not that we have eternal time. So I think April, May, there we should be doing some summary first draft of something. But I may come back to you with more definition about that after the meeting on Wednesday, and I may consult with my colleagues in the working group, in the work track. But it's a very good comment. Yes, Ashley, 1 second. And just have in mind that we have to, it's not only a GAC process. We have to stick to the agenda of the GNSO PDP, which is a broader agenda. United States. Sorry, I didn't see you before.
No, I just wanted to make sure you saw me. It's not really pertinent to this conversation. But thank you for giving us this overview of where things stand, and we think it's accurate. And just wanted to let you know that we're reviewing the documents that are available now with respect to defining geographical name. But I also just wanted to ask a procedural question, and I apologize for not knowing this already. But in reading how the official GAC representatives to this working group are to participate, it looked like there was only, if we were an official GAC representative to the group, that we had to only speak on GAC-cleared positions. And I was wondering if there was under any circumstance that we could take that hat off and still be able to engage on substance where there's not clear GAC positions. So just from the U.S. perspective, we want to be more active, but we realize that we're not, at least how we read the procedures for how to engage, that we had to be careful not to represent views beyond that's agreed by the GAC. So I just didn't know if you had any further insight on that, or if this is just a situation where perhaps the U.S. needs to consider becoming a member, not necessarily a GAC official representative.
That's a very good question. I would defer the answer to perhaps Jeff Newman and Sherry Langdon, or because this relates more to the general GNSO PDP procedure than GAC involvement itself. So let me. I think we can ask this question. I can ask them in private, but we can perhaps raise this question, which is quite fair comment, to in the meeting in Wednesday. I can ask if you are busy with other meeting. I think it's a very good point. But thank you for bringing this up. And sorry, I don't see you because there are people in front of you. China, you wanted to add something? No. Other comments? Yes. Can you remind me your name, please?
Tong Chai from Thailand. I have a question about your slide earlier. I'm not sure since I'm quite new to this. There was one section that you said requiring support or non-objection from relevant governments or public authorities. Is there a clear definition of who these relevant governments or public authorities are?
That's a major question, and that it's usually difficult to define because it's a city government, it's a national government, it's a provincial government. And we had that discussion when there was this request for Patagonia, and Patagonia means many things in the country. Also inside the country, it has different provinces that do belong or not belong, which is not exactly defined. It's a name that it's well known, but it's not exactly defined. So it is extremely challenging. For some cases, it's easy to know, because if the city, then you know that the city has a government or a chief authority or the government of the country and the name of the country. But in other cases, it may be difficult to define. But it's a good question. I don't have an answer for that. Benedicto?
Yes, good morning, Olga. Good morning, everyone. This is Benedicto speaking for the record. Well, first of all, thank you very much for this update on the work of the GAC working group on that matter. I have a few maybe very ignorant questions, because we have been, of course, interested in that discussion, but not, unfortunately, we have not been able to be involved to the extent we'd like to be. So one, maybe one preliminary question and one issue I'd like just to have clarity is, we understand this GAC working group existed before the launch of Working Track 2.5. Now, my question is, as we look at the agenda, the GAC agenda, we have, yesterday we had discussion on Work Track 5. We are discussing now the same issues, more or less, in the context of this working group. And then we are resuming the discussion in plenary. So my question is whether the working group that precedes the establishment of Work Track 5, the purpose might have somewhat changed, because maybe today the idea would be to resort to this working group as a tool for coordination or for information. I'd like maybe if you could elaborate on that, how those two efforts relate today. One concern we have, and we expressed it yesterday, is that the discussion on geographic names within the ICANN context will not take place in a silo within ICANN itself. I notice you have made reference for ISO. It's of course something that is there, but I think the basic parameters are what has been taking place within ICANN itself, the applicant guidebook, the PGPs. So it's a bit concerning for us, because I think such a discussion extends beyond, much beyond ICANN. It takes place in many other fora, in many other spaces, so we'd be concerned that maybe a decision that is taken within the ICANN context does not adequately take into account the wealth of information and discussion that is taking place everywhere. We know sometimes in not a straightforward or in a very decision-making approach. Maybe there's, in some places there is just some discussion. But we are concerned that maybe what is being taking place in ICANN is in a way prejudging or anticipating things that are being discussed in a much wider and, I would say, in a much more appropriate context. So these are concerns. Maybe if you could also elaborate a little bit on that. Even when I look at the questions that are being asked, they are very much focused on the ICANN context itself. That's, of course, the as we try to tackle these questions, you can expand the discussion and bring on board some elements, but basically they refer to things that are taking place within the organization itself. So I think for the moment those are some comments. I was also a bit concerned when you said that the two-letter code is not allowed for delegation now, but who knows what will take place next. So I think it's in the light of what has taken place in regard to the use of two-letter code at the second level, it's very worrisome that maybe some people might even think of opening up for delegation, and that we know that part of the community would certainly support that. But we think this, again, like we see the dramatic change in regard to the use of second level, in a way affected the balance and the basic parameters we have been working in. So it would be very much worrisome for my delegation, and I would assume other delegations, if such initiatives or such efforts would also be taking place. So thank you.
Thanks to you, Benedicto. I will start by the last part of your question comments. I would appreciate if you and Milagros and other colleagues that think that other sources of information that could be relevant to be considered in the PDP help me drafting something so I can give, because my role is not only trying to coordinate the work in the World Track 5 within the community, but also give feedback from the GAC. So I think this is a relevant input that we can make, and it's a very good moment because we are starting the process of revising the definitions and reviewing the sources. For the moment, we are reviewing what happened in the documents within ICANN in 2007 and 2012, but that doesn't prevent the group from reviewing other sources. So if you help me with some text, I can give it formally to the World Track 5 in the next meeting. I think it's Wednesday morning, and also the suggestion made, a question made by the representative from the United States, if they have to remain as GAC members or maybe participating in other role within the group. I think they both are very important comments that we can give to the process. What we agreed in the last meeting we had in Abu Dhabi of this working group is that we would stop what we were reviewing at the working group and stop trying to analyze what was happening in the World Track 5 and see if the working group could give some inputs. I think Jorge has been very good in giving that input during the process. The fact with me is that I have to remain neutral as I am co-chairing. So if I'm the only one and a few of us are there, for me it's somehow complicated because, I have my own views of different things. But as a co-chair, I have to remain neutral. So I appreciate that other colleagues join us in that effort. So that was the idea of the working group. And the other slots in the agenda were decided by the full GAC. So I can respond for that. Belgium, you want to say something?
Bonjour à tous. Merci, Olga.
Good morning to you all, Olga. I would like to begin by thanking the GAC and all the participants in this working group, and in particular, I would like to thank Switzerland for its contribution. I would like to remind you that the discussion of these issues is very important for all governments. We need to take into account all the province and territory and country names, and this requires a significant effort. there is an imbalance in the representation of the members of the working group in Work Track 5. We don't see so many states represented there, so I would like to insist on the fact that the lack of participation of the states does not represent the lack of interest, but rather the lack of resources. That is the case of Belgium. We have had an active participation since the Beijing meeting in the protection of geographic names. But unfortunately, we cannot participate in all working groups. Therefore, I believe it is important to continue having these discussions within the GAC here, and we shouldn't delay the discussion or leave it only for the working group implemented and led by ICAN. I agree that the fact of having minority positions allows us to express ourselves, but a small representation of the countries there does not guarantee that our positions will be taken into account. We may have the impression that we are not interested in participating, and that is not the case. We are trying to follow up closely on the developments in this group, and we are interested in ensuring that we have this kind of mechanisms to protect the government's interests. Like our China colleague, I would like also to have a clearer idea of the timeline for the activities of this group. Thank you.
It's extremely challenging about the timing and the amount of work that we have. This is why we thought that it was good to remain with this space for reviewing what was happening in the World Track 5 within this working group. And I wanted to say something more and I forgot. About the timeline, I will go to the working group in general and I will request information because already China has requested for that. And we have to adjourn this meeting. I have to read the text to close it because we have some formalities. My proposal is the following. We have 1 hour more. Par? We have 1 hour more for this. No other thing is scheduled, so it's us. Okay, let's do the following. I have to read the closing of this meeting. Let's take some minutes to go to restroom and come back. We have a vice chair. That's good. The authority has come, and then we will in the next hour we will try to, and I tried to summarize it, but honestly I couldn't summarize what was in the Excel file. So we will go and navigate it. You will see it's not so difficult, but it's a wide document, so it's difficult to review. So let's take a moment now. I will adjourn this meeting. I have to read a text. Wait. The agenda item 9, GAC Geographic Names Working Group session on Sunday, 11 March, is now adjourned. We will proceed with the next agenda item once the technical team gives me the signal to go ahead. So thank